the beginning of this verse, because that's the middle of the verse, it is as follows. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ O you who believe, do not take the Jews and Christians as awliya. As awliya. Awliya has been translated as allies. Awliya is the plural word for wali. Like the woman when she wants to get married, her father is her wali. And she has no father, of course, as a Muslim, because her Kafir father can't be her wali if she's a Muslim. Then it goes to the grandfather on the father's side. And if it's not, the grandfather's not a Muslim, then it goes to an uncle on the father's side. And if the uncle is not there, then it goes to the brother of that woman. The wali, just as a side point, which we don't want to get into, I'm sorry I even mentioned it, the wali can never come from the mother's side. The wali can never come from the mother's side. It has to come from the father's side. And if there's no one from the father's side, then the imam of the masjid is a wali. The Shaykh says, the statement of Allah, O you who have believed, do not take the Jews and Christians as awliya, as allies. They are allies to one another. And whoever of you takes them as allies, then he is from them. Verily Allah does not guide the oppressive people. The Shaykh says, the part of the verse, do not take the Jews and Christians as allies, means that you do not take them as allies by helping them become victorious, by loving them, nor by assisting them. The Shaykh says, the part of the ayah that says, and whoever of you takes them as allies, is referring to the Muslims who take the Jews and the Christians as allies. The Shaykh says, as for the part of the verse that says, then he is from them, then he is from them, the meaning of this is that he becomes one of the Jews and Christians. He says, and this is the proof for his apostasy. He says that then Allah says, verily Allah does not guide the oppressive people. The Shaykh says, calling them oppressors, meaning those who take the Jews and Christians as allies. As allies. Number 9. At-tasi'u. من اعتقد أن بعض الناس يسعه الخروج عن شريعة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما وسع الخضر الخروج عن شريعة موسى عليه السلام وهو كافر. The ninth one, whoever believes that some people are allowed to go against the Sharia of Muhammad, like how al-Khidr went against the Sharia of Musa, then he is a kafir, he's a disbeliever. Sheikh Saleh, he says, the ninth thing that nullifies one's Islam is when someone makes it permissible for another to go against the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since Allah has sent Muhammad alayhi wa sallam to all of mankind and made obedience to him obligatory on all things that exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, ayah number 107, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ And we have not sent you except as a mercy to all those, to all that exist. And also the statement of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا And we have not sent you accept as a conveyor of glad tidings and a warner to all the people. And the statement of Allah, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا Say, O Muhammad alayhi salam, O mankind, I am the messenger of Allah to all of you. The Shaykh says, so whoever does not respond to the call of the messenger alayhi salam and follow him is a disbeliever, whether he is a Jew, a Christian, a fire worshipper, or upon any other religion. This is because when Allah sent him, he made it obligatory on everyone to obey him and follow him. So whoever was upon the religion of Judaism or Christianity, then these religions have been abrogated by the sending of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, no one is allowed to disobey him. As for Khidr disobeying Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, then this was possible since Musa was not sent to Khidr, as Musa's message alayhi salam was something specifically for the children of Israel. With قال موسى لقومه يا قوم لما تؤذونني وقد تعلمون أني رسول الله إليكم. And when Musa said to his people, and this is Surah As-Saff, chapter 61, ayah number 5, 61:5, and when Musa said to his people, O my people, why do you harm me when you know that I'm the messenger of Allah to you? So the Shaykh, Habibullah, may Allah preserve the Shaykh, he says, so the message of Musa was for the children of Israel. It was not a general message for all the people. Thus, Al-Khidr was a worshipper of Allah, and the scholars have differed over whether Al-Khidr was a prophet or just a righteous man. The Shaykh says, the first position, he was a prophet, meaning the scholars differ. The first position that some of the scholars have is that Khidr was a prophet, since he did things that could only be considered miracles, like putting a hole in the boat, killing the boy, and fixing the wall that was falling over. These affairs were miracles since they were accomplished by way of knowing unseen things, and a miracle is only performed by a prophet. The Shaykh says, basically, the story of Musa and Al-Khidr is that Musa, alayhi salam, delivered a speech to the children of Israel, and then they asked him, is there anyone more knowledgeable than you? He replied, no. So then Allah told him by way of revelation that there was a servant in such and such place who has an amount of knowledge that he did not have. So Musa, alayhi salam, went to this man to seek that knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verse 60, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا. And when Musa said to his servant, I shall not rest until I reach the place where the two seas meet, or until I spend years traveling. So he traveled. And Allah says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنَيْنَا. So when they reached the place where the two seas met, all the way up to Allah's statement, فَوَجَدَ عَبَدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِمْتَ رُشْدًا. So they found one of our servants that when we gave an amount of mercy to from ourselves, and we taught him some knowledge from ourselves, Musa said to him, may I follow you so that I may learn some of the guidance you have been taught? And this is all the way to the end of that ayah, which is in the same surah, the Surah of the Cave, chapter 18, verse 65 and 66. So the Shaykh, he continues. He says, and on until the end of the story that Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf is the essence of the story. So Al-Khidr was not from the followers of Musa, since Musa was not sent to all the people. Therefore, Al-Khidr was allowed to go against the orders of Musa. As for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he was sent to all the people, so no one is allowed to go against his Sharia. In this is a reputation of the Sufis, who think that they can reach a status that includes them not being in need of following the messengers, receiving Allah's orders directly from him, and not needing to take anything from the messengers. They say, the messengers were only for the common people. As for the elite, then they are not in need of the messengers, since they know Allah, pray to him, and take from him directly. The Shaykh says, this is what the extreme Sufis are upon. They believe that they can reach a status that frees them from the need of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they will be able to go against the Sharia. Thus, you'll find them not praying, not fasting, not making hajj, and not knowing anything about what the messenger came with, alayhi salam, since they are the elite, saying, we are not in need of the messenger, as we have reached Allah by ourselves. As we have reached Allah by ourselves. And we've heard them say this with our own ears. They say that prayers and supplication and fasting and hajj and these types of acts of worship are nothing but vehicles. Are nothing but vehicles. They are things that the common person uses to get to Allah. Since we've already reached that status, we don't need these vehicles anymore because we've reached our destination. So the Shaykh, he ends it by saying, this was the intention of the Shaykh. The brother says, this is the intention of the Shaykh. The Shaykh, the author of the book, in mentioning this issue here. It is a refutation of those who believe that they are allowed to go against the Sharia of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, claiming they are not in need of them. If there are any questions, because we've reached number 10, but we're going to skip number 10 and inshallah come back and deal with some of the things related to the rulings related to the disbelievers, inshallah, that is extremely important, inshallah, and I think that you'll find it very interesting. Are there any questions now until 5:30, but this is when we're supposed to end. We have exactly 20 minutes according to that clock. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. If the sisters, inshallah, have any questions, they can send them up. And we hope that the questions for the brothers and the sisters are revolving around the topic. Inshallah. Now, tafadhal. If you can raise your voice for President.
A Muslim person that believes in Rasulullah, a fan of Rasulullah, a pedophile because of his marriage to our mother, probably lost his back at home. Is this person under the hospital because of this belief and or statement?
The brother's asking the question for those who can't hear, if anyone, you mean a Muslim? If a Muslim says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of his marriage to Aisha at the age of 6, and the consummation of that marriage at the age of 9, is a pedophile, then he is no longer a Muslim. He has expelled himself from the millah, the religion of Islam, and he should not be visited if he becomes sick. If he dies, his body should not be washed. It should not be shrouded. The 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 takbirs that are allowed in the sunnah and janazah should not be laid on him, and his body should not be buried in the graveyards of the Muslims, the Jews, or the Christians, but rather his body should be put in the city dump, on the outside of the city, where we can't smell the stench of his body. Next question. Can a woman's son be her wali? This is not related to the question. To the topic, inshallah. Next question. Here in the United States, does voting and elections nullify your Islam? It depends. Voting for the kuffar in general is not permissible. It's not permissible. Voting for the kuffar in general is not permissible. In fact, voting itself is not permissible. Voting itself is not permissible. It is a form of democracy, and there are some ignorant Muslims who try to use the story of Abu Bakr becoming the Khalifa, and therefore that the thereafter, the Khulafa, like Omar and Uthman and Ali after them, and this is because of their ignorance that they say this, and some even take it even one step further and say that democracy is Islam. The essence of Islam is, the essence of democracy is Islam. This is because of the ignorance of the Muslims and not following the way of the ulama. Democracy is a taghut, and none of the ulama of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah disagree with that. It is a taghut. It is a thing that is worshipped other than Allah. Now, no one else besides you?
I remember when we were in Wichita, we were talking about the Aqwaid and Al-Adam, the four principles, and I think, now, I may not remember correctly, but she said a taghut is anyone who is worshipped and pleased with that worship of him. Now, the explanation you brought today is a little bit different than that. Can you kind of help us?
It's both definitions together.
Okay, there we go.
Both definitions together. Now, of them.
Okay, if you have a Muslim parent that abandons the Quran, I remember you mentioned that you can't inherit from them. You can't inherit the property, but can you still take that property and give it as charity without keeping it for them? Or take the property?
This is the brother's asking the question, and for those who couldn't hear it, he's referring to the statement we made yesterday that if a person has a parent, a father or mother that left Islam, that apostated from Islam, that we said that you cannot inherit from them. And the reason why is because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has not allowed us to inherit from the disbelievers. We can't inherit from them, and they cannot inherit from us. So the brother's asking the question, can we take that property and use it as charity for the life, or give it to someone as a gift, for instance? And Allah knows best. But this is a very good question, and we can refer this question to the ulama of Islam, inshallah. We can contact them and ask them this question, inshallah. And if someone remembers, they can remind me. We can write it down, inshallah, and put it among those questions that we want it to, we intend to ask. This is a question, once again, that we need to take to the people of knowledge. We have 15 minutes left. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
I
want
to reference to
another
question that the money is put in a.
Just to let you know, the topics that we're talking about right now are things that nullify Islam. Right, that's what we've been talking about. Not any issues of fiqh or anything like that. And the reason why this question was asked was entertained is because it's related to the person who apostates. Inshallah. Inshallah. Is that it? No.
And he comes to another Muslim, and he says to him something similar. I'm not quoting the person, but says, like, you know, people always need someone to share their sins with. You kind of know, like, how the Catholic goes to the priest in the booth. And he uses, like, that analogy when he says, you know, go on and tell me your sins. You know, I help you get forgiveness for me, I show you sins. And this person, is he setting himself up to be like a taghut in a certain type of way? Or what is the ruling upon the one asking the other person to, you know, come to him for like a mediation of his sin? Did you give him an answer?
Not exactly.
If I were to come to you and say, taghut, you know, people, they carry the burdens of their sins. Can you come to me? You should share your sins with me, and I'll help you get them alleviated. If I say that to you,
let me repeat it because it's kind of lengthy what you're saying, so it's different to hear. You're saying that if person A comes to person B, and he says, and with regards to the burden of sins being upon them, the heavy weight of sins being upon that person, and he goes to that person saying, person B says, I can help you alleviate Person A says, yes, but person B is the requested to help person A alleviate or remove some of the burden of their sins by them confessing to them. So that person B says, person A confesses. He asks person A to confess some of the sins, and he reveals his sins so that person B can help him remove those sins. Is that the same?
Yes.
Remove them how? What do you mean, remove them?
Just by the confession alone. Not going to
see them. So in other words, he'll be forgiven of the sins by right. mere confession.
Right, yes.
By mere confession.
By that.
If that person, A, believes that that person, B, can do that, and person B also believes that he can do that,
yes.
then they both have left this land. Is that it? We have 12 minutes left. The salah comes in 3 minutes, inshallah. This question, I don't remember the answer from the ulama, the scholars of Islam, so I can't answer it. I don't remember. I remember hearing the answer, but the question for those who didn't hear is, the Muslim who practiced masonry, is that person, that has he apostated from Islam? I remember hearing this on at least, at most two occasions by some of the major scholars of Islam, but I don't remember the answer, so I'm not able to say. We can write this down, inshallah, as one of them.
What's the position of the Muslim that joined the Kufar military?
The position of the one who joins the Kufar military? I don't remember, like, this, the question that just was